important decision is who you should marry. And I think Judith's father would say she got both decisions right, speaking on behalf of her father. Don't give her the water. Lord, we need your water. Praise the Lord. Reading, okay. I want to read today from Psalm 150. Amen?
Amen.
We've already read Psalm 81. It's always good to read the psalm. Two psalms are better than one. So 150. Bless the Lord. I don't think we need a bigger church. We need a bigger pulpit anyway. Put that on the agenda. It says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're allowed to get excited during the preaching. And even more excited during the in the reading of the Word of God. This is the Word of the Lord. This is Holy Spirit inspired Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And through this, if we believe any single word in this wonderful book, whether it's the gospel of salvation, whatever it is, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let faith come in this place today. Let faith arise. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I'm just reading the word. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Did we do that last week? Did you praise him for his acts of power? I mean his acts of power. Acts of power. Yeah. You can praise him for creation. Creation was not an act of power. It was the work of his fingers. Last week was an act of power. Arm of the Lord was made there. Arm of the Lord. That's an act of power. That's why we came to church on Good Friday. Forgive us, Lord, for not doing that before for a few years. And Easter Sunday. And the good news is, there's Pentecost coming. Pentecost is an act of power. Amen. Act of power. Amen. Praise God for his acts of power. Yes. Power. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. God that created the heavens and the earth with his fingers. When he poured out the Holy Ghost, that was an act of power. Now, when they preach in America, you see the people run round, but now the preachers are everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise him for his acts of power. Yeah. And then praise... praise him for his surpassing greatness. Yeah. I have to admit that if there are two seminars... one on the gifts of the Holy Ghost and one on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I would sort of sign up. I wouldn't even think about it, you know, where I'd go. I'd go to the gifts. That's where I'd be. But we need both. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I thank God for his acts of power. Yeah. But in a sense, well, not even in a sense, the Apostle Paul says the greatest of these, love, hope and faith, that the greatest of these is love.
Hallelujah.
And that, the love of God, God is love.
Yes.
And that is his surpassing greatness.
Amen.
Surpassing greatness.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach this sermon, but it's, as long as you get the point, that's the main thing.
Yes.
Not the words, but the surpassing greatness of God. That God is love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We praise God for his character. The nature of God.
Yes.
The unchanging nature of God. His faithfulness.
Yes.
Great is your faithfulness.
Yes.
Can open the windows. Actually, we will be coming outside. I believe Pentecost should be open air.
Amen.
I've already done a deal with the Holy Ghost. We're going to have a sunny day. I don't mind open air as long as the sun shines. It's going to shine. We've got to declare the gospel out.
Yes.
Because great is his faithfulness. great. He is great. All of the attributes of God, he is great in. He's surpassing greatness. That's why we praise God this morning. I hope they weren't feeble praises. I know they weren't, though. But praise him for his surpassing greatness. And it says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. This is not the preaching, this is the reading of the word. You know? Praise him with a harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. That's Manish. You know, you haven't... Yeah, I suppose you did to a degree, didn't you? Do you think, would you like more? Yep. Honestly, would you like... Do you need more?
I'd like some new ones.
Oh, here's the guy. Tell him what you need. It's in the Word of God. Let everything... Now, hang on, we haven't got there yet. Even if we don't get there, I hope we've got enough. Praise him with... You get the message. Do you get the message before I preach it? Praise him with a clash of cymbals. I can ask for a demonstration in a minute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Which are the resounding cymbals?
We have to buy a new one for
that. I didn't realize there was two types of cymbals. Hey, but the best thing of all. Thank God for these. But it says here, let everything that has breath. Don't let the stones cry out. Stones are not designed to worship God, but we are. You are. I am. You are temples of the Holy Ghost. And the temple of God should be a house of prayer and a house of praise. Not populated by even the house. Jesus said, you made it a den of merchandise. Just how can I make money? How can I do this? How can I do that? Or even worse, a den of thieves. Devil wandering around, just speaking lies and you believing him more than anything else. Your house. Well, I'm not going to preach. This is, you get the message anyway. These houses have got to be houses of prayer. Houses of prayer. Houses of praise. And when we come on Sunday, this is the overflow of our praises to God. Because everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are, perhaps we should go back to a worship meeting, huh? But I've called it. I'll come to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. A time is coming, Jesus said. There's no past because it says it now is. The time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers, who wants to be a true worshipper? Not a sort of a, whatever the opposite to a true worshipper is. A false worshipper. There is such a thing. The Bible defines it. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's a false worship. God abhors it. It might look good, it might even sound good to some of us, but their hearts are far from God. You can sing all the words, but your heart is far from God. But worship, the Father wants worship today. The Father is seeking over, let's just say PE4, he's seeking over Warrington, but he's seeking over the world. He is looking for worshippers. Looking for worshippers, looking for people after his own heart. And on one occasion, while he was doing this kind of searching, he said, I found a man. His name is David. He's going to be king. I believe God is finding people. I trust God is finding people in this place. Finding people in this place. And he's got a vision for you. He has a dream for you. You might at the moment be a shepherd. You might be thinking you've really got no significance anywhere, not even in the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of darkness. But you have a plan, and God has a plan for your life. Amen. 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 John 4, verse 23 and 24. For God is spirit, and his worshippers must. The word must means must. It's an imperative. Must worship him. God is spirit and his person. Must worship. It's not, well, occasionally. This is the only way to worship God. How the Bible defines it, it's in spirit and in truth. From a heart that's just committed to serving the Lord. that we're not just saying words, but something is being expressed. It comes from our innermost being. So why David could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. And, you know, there's another psalm where it says, deep cries unto deep. You don't know how deep your spirit is. Our spirits are deep. Areas of it that we perhaps not been released yet, don't even know are there. But there are cries that come from the very depths of our being. I want to know him. The Apostle Paul, I want to know him. Have you got that cry? I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And in all of our hearts and prayer and attitude towards God, that's expressed in our worship. We worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. So I don't think this is going to be a sermon somehow, but just to express my heart, but I've called this worship vision. Vision for worship. And what all churches, some churches like to do, they like to have all of their sort of vision, the church purpose statements and all of this all written out, put on the board, on the notice board, so everybody can read. Have you read our notice board today? No, don't blame me. All right, but, you know, actually, Judith's bit is a good bit, because she puts a text every month. So that's worth looking at. But I guess so, yeah. You could have our worship, this is our worship vision. And we could sort of put that, hundreds of words written on the wall in there, and nobody reads it or knows it's there, but yeah, it's on the wall, so that's okay. But, you know, we're better than that, because we put it there. That's it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's the vision for. It's good to be a bit short because I'm not going to preach this. There's a lot in there, as you may have noticed. But I just trust you're going to catch God's heart for us to worship Him for the Way Family Church when we come together. This is how God wants us to worship Him. I just pray for that vision today. Pray for that impartation of it and an ability to do it, because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not even by ability. And it's not by his technique, you know, I can sort of play musical instruments. No, it is by his spirit. Yes. By his spirit. Yes. You can have the greatest skill in playing all these instruments, even be able to play the high sound, whatever these cymbals are. But we need the anointing of God. Yes. You know, there's something about, there's a lovely passage, I don't know if I'll ever get there today, probably not. But it says on an occasion where they wanted the word of God from Elisha. And, you know, we all know the great prophet Elisha, succeeding Elijah. And he was brought out of the blue into this company of leaders and kings to speak to them the word of the Lord. And the thing was, it was Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, who was a good, godly king, but he was foolish in the people he connected with. Because he went into battle with King Joram of Israel. And King Joram was actually Ahab's son. I mean, there's nobody more wicked than Ahab, but Joram was his son. And later on, he was killed. Jehu, anointed by God, was anointed to kill all the descendants of Ahab. And Joram was the first one. But you see, Jehoshaphat, he was a good king, but he... Joram came to him and he says, can you join me? I just want to say that and warn us, there is a danger of joining with people that are not people of God. We have to witness to everybody. But beware that you are too close to somebody who is definitely not even godly, but probably anti-godly. And beware of those kind of relationships. Oh, well, he looks nice. I just want to be friends and help him. But beware of those kind of relationships. Don't be unequally yoked. Be careful who you get yoked to, especially if it's in a marriage, whatever kind of relationship it is. Because Jehoshaphat was really a great king, but he was very unwise in these kind of relationships. And Elisha almost blew his top. When he said, you know, we just need the word of the Lord. And Elisha just had to say, I just can't. You know, at the moment, I'm just so angry. I can't really. The flesh comes in. And he said, but bring me a harpist. Let somebody just play the harp. And this is a bit like the middle of the sermon. This is about verse 3. Praise God on the harp. You need a harpist. You see, you need these. but there's a place. We need to have a place for the harpist. And I love it because, and I'm talking about worship vision, do you understand? You know, this wonderful three-point sermon, carefully ordered. Perhaps we do need to put it on the wall. But it's about worship vision. Yeah. Talking about worship vision, like what we've just, when we gather together.
Yeah.
And it just could be that, you know, Pastor David comes into the meeting with, you know, in the wrong spirit, actually. You know, it has been known. Not perfect, upset by something, someone, whatever it might be. Nobody, perhaps even Judith, well, she probably knows better than I do. But this is how Elisha was anyway. He was in the middle of this worship service and they were expecting a prophecy. And that's another thing. I'm also talking about the gift of prophecy. Okay, we need to have the gift of prophecy. We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. You understand? We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us personally, what he's saying to the way, what he's saying to the nation.
Yeah.
And we don't just speak the first words that come into our mind and sound sensible. We need people that know their God and know how to seek God and know how to wait in his presence.
Yeah.
And people that kings can depend on. Elisha was a man like that. And yet, on this occasion, he was not filled with the Holy Ghost. He knew he wasn't. He knew he couldn't prophesy and he knew he ought to. And he says, it's like this. He says, bring me a harpist. I don't know what's going to happen. But it says, as the harpist, I'm just looking at, I mean, perhaps you could, you know, well, try the harp anyway. I think, anyway, yeah. See, and again, I'm talking about in this ordered sermon here. There can be times in our worship when we don't know what the next song should be.
Yeah.
We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to the presence of Jesus, the manifest presence of Jesus. That will do miracles.
Yeah.
Not just, and thank God for every prophetic word, which is powerful. Personal prophecy and local prophecy. We want to hear what he's saying to the church. National prophecy, what's he saying to the United Kingdom?
Mm.
We need to hear from that. There's so many voices going around, but his voice. It would have been a great sermon if I preached it properly, you know. The Bible says, and goes back to the trumpet, because this is all associated with worship and prophecy, and it's in the vision. And maybe I'll write it down anyway. I have to write a book. I've always told God I'm not going to write a book. But you see, there's a point in the service. There's a point in the service they don't really know what to do, but they know they need to hear from God. And Elisha knows that he's, you know, supposed to get it, but he hasn't got it. And so he says, get a harpist. And basically, there can be times, perhaps not every Sunday, but at least we must be open to it, almost expect it, where we do not know what to do. We do not know what the next song should be. We do not know how to lead it. And so the harpist comes and he just worships God with an anointing. He didn't, if he had any words, probably not. Because of the anointing that was on him as he was praying it, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elisha. The Spirit of the Lord, and he prophesied. And we need people.
Amen.
Bible says, covet earnestly the gifts of the Holy Ghost, especially the gift of prophecy.
Amen.
And there are many here in Bible says you can all prophesy. We need up regularly. Regularly in our worship services, the worship vision. Regularly gifts of the Holy Spirit. Regularly inspirational gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. When you hear those two, and sadly many of you perhaps never have yet, but you're going to.
Amen.
This is the worship vision.
Yeah.
And we need to have that regular. And there's something about, you kind of wonder, God, why don't you just sort of tell us in plain English, you know, so that... or plain Shona or whatever. Why not just speak the gift of prophecy? But I think there is something about tongues and interpretation. Whenever anybody speaks in tongues, and only by the anointing, there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues. It's different from just using tongues that you do every day in your devotion. It is the gift of tongues. And as soon as somebody uses that, you know it's different. You might not understand it. You don't know what's going on here, what comes next, and that's always a good place to be in. But one thing you know is that God has spoken.
Yeah.
God has spoken. I'm a witness to that. We need more of that. We need to come regular and know God's spoken to us. Thank God for this Monty day today. Tremendous day. But, it, you know, this is vision. Oh, Lord, forgive us. I'm sorry. It's a bit disordered comments, but just how it comes out. When you come back, God gave me this 40 years ago, to be honest. Almost actually 40 years up to September. And I keep a kind of a record of everything I preach on in case I find myself preaching on the same thing that I preached on like 3 weeks ago and forgot. I know you can remember years back, but I actually keep notes down there. So even with this, when I was supposed to be preaching on this today. And so I had a note, and I preached on this in November, believe it or not, probably better than today. And I felt the Lord, I said, Lord, well, I've already, I don't like doing this. Like, otherwise they think I'm just repeating old sermons. And the Holy Ghost, you know what he said. Anyway, because he said, this is it. This is the vision. And this vision has not yet been fulfilled. So I'm preaching today. And I'm trusting that you get more of the, hopefully, of the Spirit than perhaps the understanding, but at least the Spirit in this, of what a Spirit-filled worship service needs to look like. And as I say, in 40 years, I've not really entered into this yet, but I'm believing this year has to be the year. September is the 40th year of God giving this to me. And I'm believing that some of the things that I'm sharing today will be, instead of being rare and almost unknown, will become more and more commonplace. More and more commonplace. So open to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Become expecting. Become those. Anybody in the congregation. And Moaz or Barbara or anybody can come with the word of the Lord. Just as Elisha did. Let's go to that section anyway. It's 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. The kings of, you see, Jehoshaphat, he was wise enough to know, you know, that at least he knew he needed to hear from God. Somehow, you know, there was a spiritual level in this dear man. He was a good man, and God, I think, he was owned as a good king by and large, and yet he shouldn't have ever been there in the first place, really. And having got there, Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet through whom we may inquire of the Lord?" An officer of the king answered, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So he knew that. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, again, he said, well, I said, you know, he said the same as me. He said, "Why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and mother." That's Ahab and Jezebel. He was kind of dropping a hint there, you know. "Go to those kind of prophets." "No," the king says, "because it was the Lord who called us, three kings together, to deliver us into the hands of Moab." Elisha said, I love this, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you. But now, bring me a harpist." Well, the harpist was playing. The hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither rain or rain, yet this valley should be filled with water. And you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. And this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. And you will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs. And the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was. The water was flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. And the Moabites saw it, and they thought it was blood. And they had tried to make an attack, and they were defeated. God not only gave them the word of the Lord, but he gave them victory. Gave them water, which was the imminent need, but there was another level, and there's always another. God is always God, he said, well, listen to that. And as I looked at this, again, the Old Testament is filled with conflict. And you kind of wonder why, because it kind of disappears almost in Matthew chapter 1, except it appears again in Ephesians chapter 6, whilst you're wondering, where's all those conflict go? Why is it, Lord, that you've given us a large chunk of the Bible, most of it about wars and rumours of wars? Some of those wars were won supernaturally, like this was. Some were just, you know, won by force of arms, but they were wars anyway. And then in Matthew chapter 1, they disappeared. Jesus says, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. And you wonder now, well, so why do we need all of that then? And you come to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, which says, we wage war, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And our worship is waging war. I hope some of you that were very here really early today would have noticed the first hymn, the first song that we had. It was a sense of conflict. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Yeah. Raise this. Yes. There's the confirmation. That was not by chance. That was not ordered. I didn't tell Emma, I'm going to speak on hallelujah today. That would be a good song. It was led by the Spirit to choose that. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Yeah. And when we do that, that came out of a testimony of an experience, actually, of people praying and interceding for a young man whose life was in desperate need and danger. And actually, all the reports were saying he's on the verge of death before this prayer meeting finishes. And that God actually gave them that song. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of my enemies. Yeah. And when we start doing that, there's conflict involved. Mm-hmm. Conflict involved. We're not only bringing our praises to Jesus, but in doing that, we're expressing our devotion. But also, we're coming against the powers of darkness. There's this whole area of conflict involved. Amen. And it's over and over again in the Word of God. So that when we prayed this morning, we've worshipped Jesus, come closer to Him. But principalities and powers have been hindered and toppled. Satan's strategies have been defeated. This is what we're doing. This is why we give God all of the praise and all of the glory. Yes. Amen. Amen. And through all of this, God speaks to us, shows us where to go, what to do. God encourages us, gave us some brief exhortations today, which were good. But we need more of that. This is the vision. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Thank God. But yeah, we need all of these symbols. And we need all of these. But we also need the inspiration and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. This is the vision. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'll sort of go back to the notes now. I missed out the trumpet a bit, but you trumpet players, you'll have to work out. But the trumpet, that's prophecy too. Praise God on the trumpet. But verse 4. Praise God on the harp. Praise God on the tambourine. Praise God. We've got there. Verse 4, praise God with the tambourine. They were over there. There are no tambourines. Oh, okay. Is there any tambourine players here? I have to confess, my our first pastor hated tambourines. Almost every other sermon, he says, you know, you can play, do what you like here, claps, you know, clap hands, do whatever, even wave your handkerchiefs, but don't play no tambourines. Yeah, he says. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says, the Bible says, praise God in the dance. Yeah. Praise God with the tambourine and dancing. Yeah. It's part of our worship. Yeah. And we haven't really had a good service if we haven't praised God with the tambourine and the dancing. If you want to know what that kind of service looks like, this need to go to the very first worship service in the Bible. Which is always a good thing to do. Exodus chapter 15, always go to the first mention. And then the first mention, the first worship service, was held on the shores of the Red Sea. Having crossed the River Jordan, having crossed the Red Sea, I should say. It says, the Egyptians being drowned in the Red Sea. And this is the first song in the Bible. There's no singing recorded in Genesis. As far as we know, I'm sure people did sing. But this is the birth of the church. And this is the first song of redemption. And the only reason they could sing this in the spiritual sense is the same that we can, because the Lord Almighty has saved us and redeemed us, and he's put a new song in our hearts, and it's a song of redemption. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. There's another cold class of songs which I would call theological. Theology, we're expressing theology. That's another thing. We need to express the theology of God by our singing. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what they sang there. And Exodus 15 and verse 1, Moses said, I will sing to the Lord, for he's highly exalted, both horse and driver. He has hurled into the sea. And I don't know, he must have had about a million people or whatever it was, 600,000 men, I think they tell us, and their children. And it must have been a great song that Moses led that. I could just imagine him. But guess what? Sister Miriam wasn't happy. She said, there's more to this. There's more to worship. This is great. Well, we've just had, you know, thousands of people worshiping God. That great hymn, Moses. Yeah, great hymn. No. Everything that has, but there is more to worship even with that. That's important. Yeah. There's more to worship. So Miriam, she couldn't sit still any longer. And she gets, when this song had finished, there must have been about 10 verses. Exodus 15 and verse 20. Miriam sang to them. Or let's go back. Verse 20. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand. She went to the back row, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women, thank God for the women, all the women followed her with heels and dancing. And Miriam sang to the Lord, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. His horse and rider, he is hurled into the sea. Part of our worship service. There needs to be times like that. The problem with you dear lovely people from Africa is that you come from Africa and your worship is much more like this kind of worship. But you come amongst us for a bit and you've ended up praying like the English people. You've ended up worshiping like the English people, sitting down on your chairs, and you've lost the dancing, and you should be the ones that are leading the English in how to praise and worship God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah! And we all know the great example, of course, of David when David came. You see, David's passion from the time he became king, his number one passion, something within him said, we must have the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. He said, well, Saul didn't have it, not too surprising. Not even Samuel did. The Ark had been stolen. And David's passion was to find that ark, and there was no precedent for it. Didn't know where it was. We didn't know what to do with it when he got it. And of course, he went about it in almost, well, the wrong way, really. But Psalm 132 expresses his passion. Remember David. He swore an oath to the Lord, Psalm 132, verse 2. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord. Till I find where the ark of God is. Till I find where the presence of God is. Yeah, the presence of God. You had singing. He had Levites, he had people making music. He says, what we want is the presence of God. We've got all of this, but we must have his presence. Yeah. We must find it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it when I've got it. I don't know where it is. I don't know how to get it. But the first thing I'm going to do when I become king is going to get it. Yeah. And he told his soldiers that. They probably thought, you know, he was a bit like President Trump's first 100 days, mate. This is what we're going to do. Expected him to say, you know, let's get rid of the Philistines. Let's get rid of all of these. No, he says, the first thing we're going to do, men, is to get the Ark of God back. And they must have thought, okay, who is this guy? There it is, all there. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. David, he had a big thing. Conferred with each of his officers, commanders of thousands, commanders of the hundreds. And he said to the whole assembly of Israel, this is the vision, guys. He said to the whole of them, it seems good to you, and if it's the will of God, what we're going to do now, right? Wait for it. Is to send word far and wide. Tell everybody what we're going to do. Tell the priests, tell the Levites who are with us. Tell them to get ready, because we're going to bring back the Ark of God. We're going to bring back the presence of God to the church. Who knows, the presence of God is coming back to the church before Jesus comes. It will come. It will do when he comes. It's a sign of his coming again, that the services of the church are filled with his presence. Yeah. In a sense, we don't need him back because he's already here, manifestly here. My Moses said, he said to God, God, if we don't have your presence, then we're like everybody else. Might as well be like the Muslims or the Jehovah Witnesses or whoever they are. Unless we've got your presence. It's your presence that we need. And we know how David expressed himself when he obtained that precious Ark of the Covenant and came before it as they return. In 2 Samuel 6 and verse 16, David went up to bring the Ark of the Covenant. It actually says this long journey, that they every six steps they stopped and praised God. Literally, I don't know if that was literal, possibly was. It says, when those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord, anyway, about David, we're in 14, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his heart, while he and Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts. Shouts and the sound of trumpets. That's worship. That's Pentecostal worship. That's Spirit-filled worship. Happens in our church. Amen. Now you can do it, you can run around the church, you know, that's okay to a degree. But by the anointing of God, there is an extravagance of anointing. When the presence of God is here. You see, David was, he was doing this, you know, it was extreme, obviously. Even actually doing it, but actually the kind of, what he was doing and what he was wearing. But it was because he was in front of the ark. There's something happens when the presence of God comes. Yes. It says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Yes. And we begin to act as we should do in the kingdom of God. And we need God's presence. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just describing you what life is going to be like. So get ready. You're part of it. You've got advance notice now. So don't be surprised. Don't be amazed. And don't, but above all, participate, take part in what God is doing. We need his presence. Oh God, we need your presence. Oh, it's great to have all the promises of God. You see, at Sunday school we used to sing that lovely song, how did Moses cross the Red Sea? Did he fly? Did he swim? How did he get across? And we sung, God made a way where there was no way. God made a way through the sea. That's how he got across. That was good enough for Sunday school. But by the time you get to Bible class, you need to read Psalm 114. Psalm 114 says, verse 3, the sea looked, mark this, notice this. You've not experienced anything like this yet. You will, because it's a vision. I think 40 years is long enough to wait for any one vision, especially, well, anyway, before my next birthday. The sea looked and fled. The Red Sea divided. And the Jordan did the same. The Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams. The hills like lambs. Why? Why was it, O sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams? Why did you do it? What was going on? And he says, tremble. Tremble. O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is coming in power and glory to the church. To the church. And I haven't got it all in yet, but I've got a brief for that. I believe in the rapture, right? We will not be here. But the time will come after the rapture when the kings of the earth will hide themselves from the wrath of God because of his presence. Because of his presence, that is going to happen. Soon, very, very soon, very, very sooner than that, we shall be taken to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I will read it because, you know, I missed out enough, but that should have been in the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the program. This is not just the vision. This is the word of God. These are the days in which we live. This is what we stand upon. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. The way I put it in there, it's a good point. It was in the first point. It's at the last trumpet. The last trumpet. The first point was there's a trumpet blowing. We didn't have time to blow it. But I have to warn you, there is. It's going to blow for the last time. Yeah. I don't know when the last time will be. But you better make sure you're ready before the last time. Yes. Because when the last trumpet comes, we will be changed in a flash. Amen. In a flash. It says, I think, again, I'll go back to my first pastor. He would love to say the Greek word for that is atomos. Atom. When scientists discovered the atom, they were looking for what they thought was the smallest element of matter. You couldn't have it any smaller, the basic element of matter. And they called it atom after the Greek word atomos, which was indivisible. And guess what other scientists did? They split it. And when you split the atom, guess what? It makes a bang and does other things too. It just shows how little science knows. Don't be put off by science. Never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever let the wisdom of men keep you out from enjoying the power of God and the presence of God. They have not the faintest idea. God is going to destroy it. Anyway, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, well, the trumpet, that's why you have to start listening to the trumpet. And this is, you know, this is going to happen when you hear the trumpet, or not, you will. Because it says, the twinkling of an eye, or the blinking of an eye. Blink. I didn't see you all blink, but I trust you. You blink three times. You'll be in heaven. Yeah. Earth to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's ridiculous, rubbish, word of God. That is, that, in the twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. You won't be able to repent when you see Sister So-and-so from the front row going up to heaven. It's not time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. In fact, the Church of Jesus Christ has got to get ready for his coming again. That they're not found without garments. They're not found without no oil in their vessels. They have to have vessels that are filled with holy oil. Filled with oil. Not depending on the other half of the church for their oil, but having oil of their own that they've received directly from the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we won't even get to heaven first. You know that. All those dear people. You know, they'll be there waiting for us. They'll say, why did you take so long? Lee's mum and some of our parents that have gone to be with Jesus. They'll say, we're waiting for you. I don't know why you took so long. You know, we got here quicker than you. They went first class. We went business class. But, you know, you need a bit more theology. You find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. Trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, when you blink, you sort of close your eye and open it again. So when you're closing your eyes, the dead in Christ are rising. By the time you open, you're in heaven yourself. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive, and after that, it says, yes, the cheek of saying after that, we have to wait a bit longer for the twinkling of an eye. We who are left will be called up. Called up. That's great, isn't it? That's worth waiting for. Amen? Amen. Sorry I've not preached this before. Sorry that I've not preached it as boldly as I should have. But I'm preaching it by the grace of God as he's called me to do so. As the word of God, I'm preaching the word of God. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture before the great tribulation. We will not go through the tribulation, but we are going to go up, up. Amen. How does that work? I'm the faintest idea. I'm the faintest idea. All I know is, all my loved ones, I'm going to meet in heaven. And I'm going to heaven too to see them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. After that, we who are still alive and are left, while this eye has been blinked, will be caught up together with them. It's going to be a cloudy day. It's always a cloudy day. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it was cloudy. So if it's a sunny day, no, it's a glory cloud. It's a cloudy day. But we're going to be caught up together with them. Yeah, we're going to meet them, but we're going to meet somebody else. We're going to meet the Lord. That's a good place to meet him. Amen. By the grace of God, we need to meet him here first. I trust today that you know Jesus is your Savior. You must be born again. There's no half measures. There's an expression when we come to worship God. There's an expression that we have, an English one. It says we can actually damn people with faint praise. You know, if people are deserving of extravagant praise, and we just say, oh, yeah, they're quite good. You know, like the Bournemouth football team or Man City or whatever. We just say they're quite good. You know, that's damning with faint praise. They're not that good, really, you know, but yeah, we won't say they're not. No, what we must have is extravagant praise, giving God all of the praise and all of the glory. Amen. Perhaps I need to write it down and put it in words. You know, write a book one day. You have to hold me to that. If I'm meant to write books, I need some people to pray, because God will say, your will be done. Let's just stand then. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Let's welcome Jesus back. Yes. Let's welcome the Holy Ghost. Yes. Welcome Jesus back. Welcome. Get ready for hearts that are ready to welcome Jesus back. Back into our homes, back into our families, back into our environments. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Now, Lord, fulfill your word in this congregation. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Fill with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I put faith in our hearts. I pray that they'll put overflowing praise. Thank you for every ministry that's here. I pray for the gift of prophecy. I praise you for the worship people you've given us. I pray you'll enlarge us, Lord. We won't stay where we are, but you'll enlarge us. Enlarge us, Lord. More in the name of Jesus. More extravagance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now then, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Amen. Singing and making melody unto the Lord. And don't stop worshiping God when you go through the door. Amen. The greatest worship teams are always at home. Amen. Enjoy. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen.